Let us pray. Eternal God, in the reading of your scripture, may your word be heard. In the meditations of our hearts, may your word be known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. Amen. Our scripture for today is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. If you would like to follow along in your pew Bibles, you can turn to page 640 in the Old Testament portion. Hear God's word for us today. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord. Woody Allen once said about this passage that the day might well come when the lion will lie down with the lamb, but the lamb isn't going to get much sleep. Our image set before us in Isaiah seems like it's a fantasy, a lion and a lamb lying down together, predator and prey, coexisting peacefully. This peaceable kingdom has a hallmark quality to it on the surface. And so we have to wonder, what is Isaiah trying to say? He's writing about stumps and shoots and lions and lambs. Is he living in a dream world? Well, the prophet Isaiah is writing to the southern kingdom of Judah, and they are not living in a dream world. They are living in a nightmare. Their world has been littered with violence. They're impoverished. They're cut off from economic and social resources by the Babylonians, who take their land, their women, their children. They don't have a king anymore. They're exiled. And all of their hope has been cut off. The tree, their king, the line of David from Jesse, is gone. It's a stump. It's a stump, and it's been cut off. It seems like their salvation, their saving grace, is gone. There's a lot of fear in Isaiah's world. It's not unlike the world that we live in. While we live in peace here in Mequon, we're not immune from violence. Just watch the news or read the newspaper. This week alone, violence struck very close to home at the high school in Waukesha with a near shooting. We have wars raging on several continents. We have folks who are fleeing their homes with the largest refugee crisis our world has ever seen, waiting to go home, waiting for peace. We have folks fleeing for asylum. It seems that our world is littered with stumps. And we have stumps in our lives as well. Life as we know it might end when we get a diagnosis, when we face a loss. And so Isaiah is talking to a people not unlike us, a people who have had hardship and heartache and struggle, a people who can only see the stumps littering their landscape. But instead of sinking into fear, Isaiah is a prophet, is called to bring them back to a relationship with God. He's called to remind them of who they are as God's people. He's called to remind them that they are not to depend on an earthly king who seems to be gone, but that there is something more to hope for, to wait for, to anticipate. And so he tells us, he prophesies to us about this new king who will come, a king who will have a belt of righteousness, who will love, who will welcome, a king who will bring peace and a new kingdom. Now, this peaceable kingdom is so contrary to our experience. In this kingdom, predator and prey are living together, and it seems that they're transformed. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a lamb being able to go to sleep secure in that lion's grip, knowing that the lion doesn't want to eat it? Or if you look at the other part of the passage where it describes how a toddler is playing over a snake's lair, what parent would let their toddler play over a snake's lair? None, unless you knew that the snake was as harmless as a grasshopper. What Isaiah is describing here is a peace that is transformative, a peace that transforms predator and prey down to their very core, to their essence, so that they can live peacefully with one another, that they don't want to return evil for evil. Can you imagine arch enemies sitting down and living and working together? We don't live in this kingdom yet. Isaiah's people, who he prophesied to, didn't live into this kingdom yet, which is why he points out that there are shoots of peace. Now, if you've ever seen a tree stump in the forest, you know that even though life seems to have been cut off, new life can grow from what has been cut off. New life can grow. There is hope. All is not lost, even when it seems there is something that has died. Isn't that our story as God's people? It's our Easter story. When it seems that Jesus has died, he rises again, and there is new life. And so Isaiah is prophesying this. He's prophesying this peaceful kingdom, this coming king who will reign, who will be better than any earthly king. But it will not happen all at once. It will happen one shoot at a time. This past week, our Wednesday pastor Bible study really wrestled with this passage and this Sunday where we talk about peace during Advent. Because as we know, we don't have world peace. In fact, several remarked, we don't even have peace in our own families, especially after you've had Thanksgiving, perhaps. Peace isn't a tall, strong tree. But as Isaiah reminds us, it does come in shoots. It comes from seeds of peace that slowly grow and take root. And these seeds of peace often start with a very small action. Take a news story from this past week. There was yet another young person wanting to do harm with a gun in a school. And a teacher saw this student and ended up disarming them with a hug. A hug, not meeting evil for evil, but a shoot, a tiny, tiny shoot of peace. Well, sometimes those shoots of peace grow and they multiply. There's a woman named Lema Gwobi who lives in Liberia. And Liberia, as you might know from its history, has been racked with civil war for decades. She's a single mom of six and a social worker, and she was raising her family in the midst of civil war and really struggling with all the torture and violence that she saw around her. In the documentary, Praying the Devil Back to Hell, Lema shares about a dream that she had. One night she had a dream that God was telling her to gather women in her church to pray. Now, Lema was a Christian. She was a member of a Lutheran church, but as a single mom of six, she did not feel like an all-star Christian, like a perfect Christian. But this dream was so vivid that she started a prayer group, first with a few women. They'd gather to pray for peace and read scripture. And in time, that prayer group grew in her church, and another Lutheran church in Monrovia started a prayer group. prayer groups started sprouting up not only in Lutheran churches, but in other Christian churches. Women would gather weekly to pray for peace. Well, one day, a Muslim woman attended a prayer group, and she was so inspired that she started a prayer group in her mosque. These prayer groups grew, and women of all faiths started gathering not only in their churches, but in the fish market, which was kind of a large public square, like our Washington Mall, if you will, and they'd gathered once a week to pray for peace. It also happened to be a place that the president of the country drove by day after day. Thousands of women began praying for peace and leading a movement for peace. Shoots of peace grew into branches of peace. And eventually, peace was brokered, because a woman had a dream to start a prayer group in her church. Lema was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 2011, but she was quick to point out she had nothing to do with the peace. It was the peace that she and her community of faith found in those weekly prayer groups that started off in a smelly church basement that eventually led to peace for her nation. That's exactly what Isaiah is prophesying here in this passage for today. We have another vision. We have another way. We are not without hope, even if we see stumps littered in our lives, even if we struggle to keep peace between our children in the pew as I'm preaching the sermon this morning. All is not lost. Isaiah is preaching this, prophesying this, so that we might have an image of peace, that we might seek peace, that we might turn our prayers into action, seeking to nurture those shoots of peace that we see out in God's world. Well, what does that look like? There's a 19th century Quaker preacher named Edward Hicks who ministered in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And he was so enamored with this passage from Isaiah that he started to paint it. He was a preacher by Sunday, but a painter during the week to help pay the bills. And he painted this passage from Isaiah. This is the peaceable kingdom. This passage gripped him, and he painted this painting over 100 times. Now, the characters would change depending on what was happening in the world around him. If you see this painting, there's a tree that split because the church that he was serving was having a fight. And he wanted to show that there was a rift, and yet he wanted his congregation to see that even though they were divided, God's promise of Jesus Christ allowed for reconciliation and peace. Hicks painted this painting 100 different times, and each time he painted it, he'd gift it to a friend or to a church or to a community. Sometimes William Penn would end up in the paintings with a peace treaty to broker peace with Native Americans. Isaiah got a hold of Hicks and his pastoral imagination, and he couldn't let it go. But there's also another depiction of the peaceable kingdom that I have really come to love that has guided me in my ministry by John August Swanson. Here, we have the little child, Jesus, carrying the light. It's a starry night. It's dark. Not unlike our season of Advent when we begin in the darkness, because all new life has to start in the dark, whether it's a seed in the dark ground that's going to grow with a shoot of peace or a baby growing in a womb, it begins in the darkness. Take a moment to consider these images, not as if you were in a museum seeing them on a wall, but as people of faith, because they depict the promise that Isaiah foretells, the promise that the stumps will not be the last word. There are shoots of peace that are coming. There's a shoot of peace who came, our Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, who was born 2,000 plus years ago. Now, we don't live in war-torn Liberia like Lema. We don't live in war-torn Judah like those that heard this passage the first time. But we do live in a world where there are stumps. And so today, as we continue on our Advent journey, I invite you to seek the light of Christ, which often comes in a small form, a shoot of peace, a glimmer of hope. And as you go into your week, I invite you to seek that light. What shoots do you see growing in your life? What are you hoping will pray and praying will grow? And how might you nurture those shoots of peace? In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all, amen.